Well, I was writing this sermon, and I promise you I've rewritten this sermon three times because I was trying to figure out exactly where to go. And until I actually got to this version, it was just way too lengthy and way too theological. And so I brought it down to one concise passage in 1 Samuel chapter 3, and you can go there if you have a Bible with you today. If you don't have a Bible with you, we have plenty in our lobby that you can check out. But I want to start with a question. Have you ever asked a young person what they're going to be when they grow up? And I'm talking about like a really young person. I think it's a lot of fun, especially if they're kindergarten to grade 4, because they have no idea what they're going to do because there's so much time in between then until when they actually get a job. And at that age, their choices are so limited. Out of a class of 50 kids, you will get options like this. 35 firefighters. Yes. No fires today. 10 police officers, we're all protected. 4 doctors, okay, that's pretty good. And 1 marine biologist specializing in the Arctic waters, especially with penguins. Somehow you get a kid who knows exactly that, and that's what they do. And they go off to college to do something like that. But most of the time, it's hardly on their mind because they just want to play. They want to do something else, and they're just in a different life stage. However, we get questions all the time where our choices are not maybe of our truest intentions. We say firefighter, but really there's something else going on. We wonder in the back of our minds what really the answer should have been to that question. We wonder what the next move is, where to go, how to personally inspire someone to Jesus, how to be inspired ourselves. And there's a lot of questions that may even float in our mind as we're asked different things. And we're going to be talking about calling. And there's a lot of different ways to look at our calling. Obviously, there's job, but even more importantly, there's other things as well. Because our calling is not just our job. You see, we want to be as effective as possible. We don't want to live an ineffective life, a secondhand life. We want to produce fruit. We want to be out there in the world. We want to live the life that God has called us to. And I want to encourage you on how to listen to God's calling for your life. His individual calling. You see, he's called us as a church to inspire others to a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. But what about when it comes to you? When you wake up in the morning, do you have a personal calling where you say, the Lord has called me here to do this today? And that's a big question. And maybe to bring it down a bit, do you know what his voice sounds like? How do you know that God is calling? You see, there's plenty of biblical examples of God calling people. Famously, Saul to Paul, right? Meets Saul on the road to Damascus, has this life encounter where he's blinded and hears from Jesus, and then eventually is unblinded, and now he's Paul. There he meets Jesus, and he clearly hears his voice. However, I want to talk about a biblical character that doesn't know the sound of God yet. He doesn't know his voice at all. I want to talk about Samuel. In 1 Samuel 3, we see Samuel here at the young age of 9. And this sounds like the beginning of a story, but it's not even. He's had a bit more through his mother, who prayed over him that she would have a son, and that if she had a son, she committed that he would grow up in the temple. That actually, when he was born, Eli would take him and raise him in the temple so that he would be a godly man. And that's first where we meet Samuel. That even before he was born, God was with him. And so now we meet him, and he's just this young boy. I like to say around the age of 9 or so. And in 1 Samuel 3, starting at verse 1, we'll read this. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli, and in those days the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark was. Stopping here, there's a bit of a meaning here. The meaning is that God's presence is still in the room. God's presence is still there. The Ark of the Covenant is here, present, And Samuel, being nearby, sleeping in this vicinity of it, is now sleeping in the presence of the Lord. And so the Ark of the Covenant, although not the physical representation of the Lord, is the physical representation of the Lord's spirit in the room. And so Samuel here is now sleeping in the presence of the Lord. And so think about his story, how God was with him in his birth, and now he is sleeping in the presence of the Lord. Keep that in mind as we continue reading in verse 4. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." So he went and he laid down. Here again, the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up. He went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call, go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel lay down in his place. Maybe the first question would be, what would you do if you were Samuel? Where your name is getting called and you have no idea what is happening. Samuel does what any person would probably do the first time. Who's that? Who's calling my name? What is happening? Okay, well, maybe it's Eli. Eli's the only one nearby. Eli would be the most obvious choice to call his name. Let's go to him. And being told, no, I'm not calling your name. Go back to bed. Oh, all right. Samuel has the choice in the second attempt when his name is heard once more. Do I get up, or maybe is that just the rustling of the leaves? Am I really being called, or am I just hearing something? And luckily, he gets up. He's persistent. He's trying to figure out what's happening. Why do I keep hearing my name? Who's calling me? And he checks back with Eli. No, it's not him again. Okay, well, back to bed. There it is a third time. Why are you calling me, Eli? And finally, he clues in, oh, God's calling you. God's calling you. Here's how to respond. It is me, your servant, Samuel. It was never Samuel accepting that that must be the rustling of the wind or something in the breeze. That's not my name, I'm hearing stuff. I better just continue to sleep. But it is rather his searching for it. He goes out to search, who is calling me? What do they want? So although you may not know God's voice if you're in that case, don't stop searching for it. Don't stop searching for it. Because just as Samuel gets up from his sleep in efforts to find who or what is calling his name, he never stops searching for it. And he went to meet with those he considered wise. Just like Samuel, we need to learn God's voice. Who do you run to when you hear God call your name? Who do you seek when you feel a calling on your heart? Who do you wake up in the middle of the night and you say, I am hearing my name from God, what does it mean? Who do you run to when God calls? I want to encourage you, if you have somebody in your life, to keep them in your life. If you know someone with wisdom that you can just run to, and you can wake up in the middle of the night and you say, hey, knocking on their door, please wake up, tell me what this is about. Keep them in your life. Because this isn't a solo mission. Samuel did not know God's voice, and he would have never known unless he had someone in his life like Eli who was wise and who he could run to. He looked up to him like a father. And so I hope that, you know, in this room today that there's someone that you can run to and say, I think I'm hearing the Lord's calling on my life. If you don't have someone, I encourage you to look for someone. Even if you're 20 plus years down the line in your walk with Christ, look for someone who has wisdom, who you think could help you discern how God's calling you today. Because like Samuel, God invites us to hear from us, to hear from him, to recognize it's him, to listen to his voice. So don't stop, but keep running after it and searching for it. And let's keep going in verse 10. The Lord came and stood there. calling as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to him, see, I'm about to do a new thing in Israel, something that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I had spoken against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and they failed to restrain him. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned by sacrifice or offering. And Samuel lay down until morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called to him and said, Samuel, my son. And Samuel answered, here I am. You see, he's scared. Imagine a 9-year-old boy walking up to someone who he considers his father, a mentor he's trusted for so long in his life, and he has to tell him this devastating news that his sons are going to be cast out, that they are considered cursed. It'd be a pretty hard thing to do. But there's a few things that we can take out of this and say, okay, Samuel didn't just run in headfirst and say, hey, I have the Lord with me, let's go to battle. But you see, he does a few things first. He thinks probably when he hears the Lord, sweet, I'm listening to God. God's about to do something that is going to make the ears of Israel tingle. That sounds awesome, right? Like God's going to move in such a profound way. Like, let's get excited. And that's probably what Samuel's thinking at 9 years old. And suddenly he's let with the news that he has to go up to his mentor and tell him that his sons are going to get cast out. Suddenly his expectations went for a roller coaster ride and he's not looking forward to going to talk to Eli. God tells him this hard news and he lays it down on a 9-ish year old boy that he would have to go to his mentor and say this. And if you were in Samuel's shoes, what would you do? What would you do? You have to deliver some hard news, tell someone something that they don't want to hear. Oh, and to boot, you're a young boy. Well, just like any other Gen Z or millennial, Samuel goes back to bed. He sleeps it off, and he wakes up in the morning and decides this is probably a battle for the morning. Not to mention, he just woke up Eli 3 times, and the 4th time, he probably won't be so happy. But why does Samuel lay back down? Well, there's a few things I want to say to this. The most important thing is that he just needed time to wait. He needed time to wait and figure out how he's going to follow the Lord's calling right now. Imagine if he woke up Eli for the 4th time in the night and said, here's what God said to me. I know it's the middle of the night, and you're probably not sleeping well because I've woken you up so many times. Don't get mad, please. But rather, he lies back down. He settles it in. He takes God's calling and just breathes for a bit. Okay, let's wait one night. When we have hard conversations or moments like that, we're called to difficult things. We're called to difficult things. And we need to know how to approach it. And that's where it takes a good mentor, a good night's sleep, some time just to settle, okay, how is best to accomplish God's mission? I can think of it in a few different ways, and maybe one is a great story from my times at Bible college. This is for all young people as well. Sorry, but if the Lord wakes you up in the middle of the night and tells you you are going to marry a certain person, do not go and tell that certain person immediately. Bear with me and discern it for a bit. Because if you go and tell them, I guarantee you that the Lord will not be calling you to marry that person anymore. Talk it out with somebody, maybe not the somebody that you like, or maybe you just had a good night's sleep and you're like, man, maybe that was the Lord. No, you just like that person. You see, we need to take a moment to listen to God, and we need to take another to see his way. We need to take a moment to listen to God, and another to see his way. Samuel first listens to God. Okay, God, lay it on down. Lay that bad news down. Okay, now let me just go back to bed right now. This can wait till the morning. Do I really need to say this? I can imagine that restless night that Samuel has. Do I really need to say this? Do I have to say this? God, why is this the calling? And he wakes up in the morning and says, okay, well, I guess I must. We look to the end and he opens the door of the temple, and I want to suggest maybe just a little bit of imagery. He let open the temple so that the Holy Spirit came with him as he went to go tell Eli this news. He took with him the presence of the Lord as he walked forward, and he said, hey, I got some bad news for you. He didn't go alone. And so thirdly, we need to take the Holy Spirit with us, because ultimately, if we're doing the Lord's work, we need the Lord with us. Do not approach danger without a sense of direction. And danger in this sense is calling. The Lord's not going to call us to comfort. Luckily, he's not going to call us into what exactly we're doing right now. He usually calls us away. He affirms what we're doing. He affirms it. He says, yes, this is your calling, what you're doing right now. But usually when he calls in the middle of the night, he asks you to do a new thing. So take a moment to sit and be silent in the presence of the Lord, just to discern, Lord, how best will I follow you? I've heard your call. I know your voice. Where do I go? How do I get there? Maybe that's in your home life. Hard conversations or conversations that need to lead to somewhere. Take a moment with the Lord. Sleep in his presence, as Samuel does. Maybe it's in your workplace, a heavy meeting. You just need to step out of the room for a moment. Lord, how can I best get through this? What is your direction? Or maybe it is actually future endeavors, a bigger calling, which it's not always that. And I got to make sure to emphasize that. God's not calling everyone to be missionaries overseas or in churches. He's actually calling the regular people to do their jobs for him. Listen to the Lord. Do not approach danger without a sense of direction. And lastly, we have to go on and be salt and light in the darkest and most unappetizing places there is. So listen to how Samuel responds to this. 1 Samuel, starting 3, verse 17. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide anything from me that he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. And then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all of Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as the prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and then he revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Eli goes and he demands Samuel say what was spoken to him, which is a little bit of a like, a, hey, I know you were probably hearing something from the Lord. Tell me what it was. Which, honestly, a very good move from his mentor, that he wants to know what's happening between him and God. But Samuel is warned about hiding it, and I'd be amiss to pass over that. He's warned about hiding it. No, he's probably thinking, no, this calling is not for me. I won't do it. And then Eli's like, nope, you got to do it. You got to say what your calling is. And so he tells him, not sporadically, without discernment. Remember, he didn't wake him up in the middle of the night. He waited until the morning. But we can see how this probably was hard for him. This is probably hard for him. He doesn't want to do this, but he's heard God's voice. He knows the call. He knows he had a good night's sleep and figured out how exactly to deliver it. And then he's told the repercussions if he delays it. And then he goes on and he produces his faith by saying it. And I think that's really the biggest piece in this whole deal, is that he's growing in faith by listening to God. To hear his voice, oh, that's such a great amount of faith. But when he actually goes through and finishes that job that God called him to, that's where his faith grew tremendously. It was in the action. So, like Samuel, we need to recognize God's voice. Do you know God's voice? You know, if you don't know God's voice, I want to encourage you to find someone who does, to talk with them, to say, hey, would you pray that I would hear from the Lord wherever he's calling me? Maybe it's in the workplace, maybe it's in my family, maybe it's in the garden, maybe it's in the fields, maybe it's here in church. Invite someone to sit with you and just pray, Lord, would you speak to me? If you wonder, what is my calling? And sit down and ask for it. Then when you understand that calling, say yes to it. If the Lord is calling you, then listen. If the Lord is calling, then listen. Which is a hard step, because we often want to say, Lord, give me this. Supply me with this. Bring me this. Thank you for this. I adore you for this. But actually listen. Listen to his calling without words. Listen with your ears. Watch with your eyes. Be open with your heart. Do you get a direction on his calling for yourself? Have you heard it? Or were you talking over it? And then accomplish the call. If you've been blessed by God and you know where you're going, then go out and do it. I don't want to repeat what Eli said, but he said it would be severely dealt with. If you know God's call, continue it out. If you've discerned it with your mentors, discerned it with the church body, in spiritual gifts, that you would actually go out and accomplish it. Even though it's hard, even though you may feel like a Samuel going up to this mentor and saying that your sons are going to be cast out, even though it's difficult. You see, our faithfulness is really put to the test when we take action after we've heard his call. Are you ready to follow his call? And think about it for a second. When you first followed Jesus, it was the action of committing yourself to him. The step forward, hey, Jesus, I'm ready to take this relationship to the next level. And that's where the faith really got produced in great levels. Maybe even a baptism, you can think back to that. When you got baptized, that's the step that produced so much more faith. It's just like the calling. If God calls us and we know his calling, it is the step that will make us the faithful. For some of you, you may be feeling the heartstring pull of, I don't know what his voice sounds like. For some of you, you may be fully feeling the pull of, okay, I know I'm called, but I've just been delaying it. I've been delaying it and delaying it. Whatever it is, I want to invite you to ponder the question, what is my calling? Maybe that's a new way to serve here at Parkview. You've just been holding back and saying, I'm not ready to get into it yet. Maybe it's spending time with a local charity. Lord, where can you use me in my community? Maybe it's the moving of resources to better support something that God calls you to. Maybe it's time, the resource of time, stepping out into something that you know will block out your schedule, but just in a new way to be devoted to him. For some of you, you may feel like Samuel, not fully knowing his voice. Some of you may feel like you've already heard it. But my prayer is that you would discern and listen to him and know, Lord, I hear your calling. I want to follow it. You see, God wants us to grow in faithfulness by following his calling on our lives as a church and as individuals. And so I challenge you this week, where do you need to follow God's calling? Is it in your home? Is it in your workplace? In your time, your energy, your space, your resources? Where do you need to follow his calling this week? The call is never to stay home and stay the same. God calls us to follow him in new ways, stepping out of our comfort zone into his community. There's always another way to follow his leading. So church, I want to challenge you. How can you take a step into following Jesus today? How can you wake up and inspire yourself to follow Jesus and grow in a relationship with him? Listen to his word. Although it may look like a mountain ahead of us to follow God's calling, it's so much greater when we can look on the other side and say we were faithful even when he called us to the hardest places. How will we as a church follow his faithfulness this week? Let's pray. God, thank you that you are a God that speaks to us and that you are calling us out of comfort and towards you. And Lord, I pray that you would just make your will known to us individually, that you would speak to everyone here and know, let them know that you are for them, that you are leading them, that you are guiding them in their stage of life, wherever it may be. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to speak and be present in our lives today. Amen.